The multi-year project was prompted by concern over depleted crab stocks around Kodiak and the Pribilof Islands. Jenny Eckert is Associate Professor of Fisheries for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She's based in the School for Fisheries and Ocean Sciences in Juneau.
The hatchery project started in 2006. It was sort of a community-based sort of ground movement that there were people that were concerned that king crabs have declined and haven't recovered even in the absence of fishing. And so there are individuals that wanted to see if we could culture king crabs on a large scale.
So a coalition of scientists, fishermen, fishery businesses, and Alaska Native groups formed the Alaska King Crab Research, Rehabilitation, and Biology Program. Eckert is one of the lead researchers who's raised larval crab to their first juvenile stage at the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery in Seward. Eckert says 2007 was their first culture year.
And we didn't have very good success that year. In subsequent years, we've done quite well. So in 2008, we did better. In 2009 and 10, we were able to produce over 100,000 juvenile red king crab in both years.
This summer, they'll be conducting more field research on how juvenile crab deal with predation in the wild. The work will take place in Yankee Cove near Juneau. Like in the Pribilofs, fishery managers in southeast Alaska have also closed red crab fishing for several years because of stock concerns. Eckert says one potential explanation for why depleted king crab stocks haven't recovered is that too many of the tiny juvenile crab are being eaten by predators.
A couple of years ago, we initiated a field project with cameras that we mounted underwater to record what predators came along and ate king crabs that were tethered. And the project went very well. It was logistically pretty challenging, but it went pretty well. So we'll be doing a follow-up to that to learn more about predation in the wild of these very small king crabs. These king crabs we'll be using will be on the order of 5 to 10 millimeters.
That's about the size of a pen cap or a small button. The researchers actually use a piece of monofilament to tie the crab in front of the camera. In previous studies, they found sculpin were the main predator. Eckert says they've been looking at things like the way habitat or the lack of habitat affects predation. They've also looked at the difference age makes on predation, how vulnerable a crab is that just hatched that year versus a crab that hatched the year before.
The age one crabs were more aggressive towards predators. They would fight. And the age zero crabs just hunkered down and tried to hide. So we saw interesting behavioral differences between crabs that were a year apart in age.
Meanwhile, researchers are also studying whether hatchery-reared red crabs can actually be conditioned to life in the wild by exposing them to predators in the lab.
And it's been shown for other crustaceans that when you expose them to predators, then either their behavior or their morphology changes. And in the case in this lab experiment, we've just started to do the preliminary analysis, but it indicates that in fact, when you expose these small crabs to fish in a non-lethal way, and then later expose them to fish again, they have an increased survival rate by having been exposed to the fish predators.
Eckert believes there is a potential for hatchery enhancement of wild red king crab stocks, but at this point, the researchers still have a lot more work to do.
One of the important parts that this current study and the study we did 2 years ago and the study that we'll be doing again this summer will be trying to figure out where are there bottlenecks in the life history of these crabs. If, in fact, the bottleneck is at the juvenile stage, then if we add more juveniles, that could then ultimately produce more adults for basically people to eat. But at this point, we don't know if that's going to happen yet. So we're still in the feasibility stage.
So Eckert says it would be a while before any large-scale enhancement could happen. Resource managers would have to look at a variety of policy concerns before allowing such a program to move forward. Eckert says there are many issues that need to be considered.
One of them has to do with genetics, and it's very important that we not disrupt the natural genetic variation that is out there. So that's we have several companion projects that are working on the genetics of both red and blue king crab to better understand the population structure and then to evaluate if a hatchery project was to proceed, how many crabs would be needed to not swamp the natural genetic variation with hatchery individuals.
Eckert says another concern is ownership. Would these hatchery-reared crab go to the general public domain? Would they be allocated between user groups? And how could you tell a hatchery crab from a wild crab?
So one of the companion projects that we're working on right now is how to tag crabs so that we can tell, just like with salmon, we can distinguish hatchery-raised salmon from wild salmon. And we'll hopefully be able to do that with crab, too.
But Eckert says there is still more work to do on that front as well. The AK Crab program has received over $300,000 in grant money from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and nearly $160,000 of in-kind and support services from the Aleutic Pride Hatchery, Alaska Fish and Game, the University, and Alaska Sea Grant. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.